And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Awesome Mania. I'm Michael Lindebaum, joined as always with your undisputed champion, Mr. Ben Taylor.
That's right. It's me, Ben Taylor, a.k.a. Adequately Hydrated. Man, welcome to wrestling in the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
So, before we get into any of this, just want to say, we're not going to be talking about Great American Bash Night 2. We're not going to be talking about Fyter Fest Night 2, because that was like 2 weeks ago. And if we spend time talking about those, we're going to be here till Doomsday. Because we've also got to talk Fight for the Fallen. We've got to talk a little bit about Slammiversary. We've got to talk about
Extreme Rules.
The horror show Extreme Rules. That's the official title of the pay-per-view now, not just Extreme Rules.
So, and
our usual ending segment where we have to come up with something good in wrestling, I'm having a real hard time.
Same. Usually, sometimes though, as we go throughout the episode, if we're having a hard time before we start recording,
we'll come up with something. Yeah.
We tend to find something as we're talking about everything. So,
yeah.
So with that, we're going to hop right into news and notes. We're going to start off with Charlotte Flair on July 12th.
You know, she's in line for a push.
she's in line for this massive push on Raw.
And in other news, the sky is blue and the Young Bucks are the best tag team in the world, according to themselves.
Yep. But she took to Instagram and Twitter to actually talk about why she's taking extended time off. And she actually predated it back to 2018, shortly after WrestleMania. She actually was sick. She ended up finding out that she had silicone poisoning, and she had two options for type of surgery. They each had a specific recovery time. One was slightly shorter than the other.
Yeah.
She went with the shorter one, so that way she can get back on the road as quickly as possible. She is having a procedure this time to do a cosmetic fix to make it more of a permanent fix.
Yeah.
And she's also taking this time to, you know, rest her body, rest her mind, you know, because being on the road 300 days a year, I mean, not really right now with the pandemic and all, but being on TV as much as she has though this year, it takes a toll on the body and you need to give it some rest. Mm-hmm. And with also talks that she's in, that she's going to be starring in a actual TV show on a major network.
Something about like a reality show or something?
No, it's not going to be reality. They said that she is not going to be part of a reality show like with Total Divas or Total Bellas. It's going to be an actual scripted show on one of the major networks.
That's weird.
So like there's a lot going on for Charlotte outside of WWE, but at the same time, you know, she knows that she's going to come back, and when she does come back, she's going to be even more focused at, you know, creating her legacy greater than it already is now. And I think it's safe to say that she has definitely stepped out of the shadow of her father.
Yes.
Yes and no.
But then again, this is wrestling, so everyone's in Ric Flair's shadow because he's Ric Flair.
This is also very true. But when you look
But she's definitely her own woman.
Yeah.
Even though she's definitely branded as a Flair. But she's definitely got her own trajectory now. She's not just Ric Flair's daughter anymore. She's Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
Yes. But Ric Flair casts a shadow over all of wrestling.
That's also very true. It's one of those weird dynamics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had Sunny get arrested again. Which the state of Pennsylvania has revoked her parole as a result.
Yeah.
I don't know, what
did she get arrested for? Probably something.
Eluding police, driving on a pulled license.
Okay.
Few things. I don't have the full rap sheet in front of me. We have Kevin Owens to NXT. What almost happened or could have been.
Or still might be at some point.
Yeah, or still might be at some point. So this was an interesting one. Kevin Owens came out with an interview. This actually had a couple things involved with the interview. One being that he talked about his relationship with Triple H and Vince McMahon and about how he can go to Vince and speak freely to him about things, about pushes, about, you know, and about face masks. Because he actually confirmed that he went up to Vince and brought up the idea of fining people for not wearing a mask at the Performance Center when they're taping Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. And another part of that interview was that he talked about how conversations with Triple H and him took place about trying to bring him back to NXT because he felt that his run in NXT was too short and that he felt that he could do so much more with NXT.
He also said that he's very interested in helping establish NXT as the third brand and making people as aware of NXT as they are as Raw and SmackDown. Which is really cool.
Yeah. And when you see people who want to be like team players like that, it's really cool. Mm-hmm. So definitely good on Kevin Owens for that.
Yeah, but we all know we just get come back and get fed to Karrion Kross because
Yeah, speaking about Karrion Kross, did you see Tommaso Tomato Chomper's Instagram earlier this week?
I don't have Instagram.
Okay, so on Instagram, Tommaso Ciampa, Tomato Chompers, he actually posted about how he's feeling discontent right now. And, you know, he says, you know, when I look at myself from 2018, I look at myself now, I don't see the same Tommaso Ciampa. And he's actually using this time off because he's been off, you know, in his mind for creative reasons. They just don't have creative for him right now. Mm-hmm. That's what he's telling himself. And he's using that as motivation to get himself back to the way he was in 2018, but maybe even better and stronger than he was in 2018 before the neck injury happened.
I don't see how that would work personally, but... I think it's good. That's one of the strengths of NXT, I feel, is like people can go away for a while and then come back and feel fresh. And that's something the main roster doesn't do. They just keep shoving the same people down your throat over and over and over again. Yep. So like, yeah, sure, take Tomato Chompers off the air for a little while. Take Jonathan Q Wrestling Gargano off the air for a while.
I don't think Finn Balor's been on TV for a while.
Yeah, just... let them be, and then when they come back, they'll feel fresher, they'll feel newer, because they've been gone, right? So,
Yeah, and I definitely agree. That is one of the good things about NXT, is that somebody can disappear for a while, and then come back, and we'd be just as excited to see them.
Yeah.
So, moving over to Impact... and we'll bring Slammiversary into this because then we can start moving into like AEW Fight for the Fallen and the horror show at Extreme Rules. So the Good Brothers last night announced that they have in fact signed with Impact Wrestling. According to details of the deal, they have signed a 2-year deal and are able to work with New Japan Pro Wrestling when that is available to them. That was obviously like one of the biggest things that was talked about leading up to the signing was that whoever they signed with, they wanted to work with New Japan and they wanted a deal that would allow them to do that.
And he very specifically called himself in the video Machine Gun Carl Anderson.
Yep.
So bear that in mind. He's one thing a lot of people that only know him from his WWE run is he's a fantastic wrestler.
Yep.
An absolutely fantastic wrestler. I mean, he won the G1 at one point, right? Like, just, yeah.
Yeah, and then also for the Machine Gun, he was actually wearing the Machine Gun Carl Anderson face mask when they did their little promo for Impact last night that came out on social media. Mm-hmm. So, It's good for them. And then we can hop right into Slammiversary, because the Good Brothers will, in fact, be at Slammiversary tonight on pay-per-view. You have Ace Austin. Yeah. You have Ace Austin versus Eddie Edwards versus Trey versus To Be Determined in a fatal four-way match for the vacant Impact World Championship. You have Jordan Grace defending the Impact Knockouts Championship against Deonna Peruzzo. Mm-hmm. Willie Mack is defending the Impact X Division Championship against Chris Bay. Alicia Edwards versus Havoc versus Kira Hogan versus Kimberly versus Kylie Rae versus Navia versus Madison Rayne versus Rosemary versus Susie versus Tasha Steeles versus Taya Valkyrie in a gauntlet for the gold match to determine the number one contender for the Impact Knockouts Championship.
How is it a gauntlet for the gold match if there's no gold in it?
Because it's for the number one contendership.
I get that, but then yeah. It should be a gauntlet for the number one contendership match.
Yep. You have The North, Ethan Page, and Josh Alexander defending the Impact Tag Team titles against Ken Shamrock and Sami Callihan. And then you have an old schools match for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship where Moose will defend against Tommy Dreamer. And then in a tag team action, you have the Rascals, Zachary Wentz, and Desmond Xavier versus a team to be determined. Could it be Gallows and Anderson? Or could it be also the other T's, which could be Rhino and Heath Slater? Guy, tune in to find out. Or it could also possibly be Team Canada, because they have been teased as well for a possible return. And then also other T's.
I don't think it will be Team Canada.
I don't think either. I was just trying to play it up.
Mainly because they've kind of come out and said they're never using Michael Elgin again.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is that many names have been teased, including the reunion of Team Canada with Michael Elgin, but with recent things going on.
Keep reading the Wikipedia, Mike.
Yeah. Heath Slater.
Not that you've actually watched any of this content. Yeah. You're just reading it off Wikipedia.
Yeah. And then, of course, Aces and Eights with D'Lo Brown reunited. Yeah. So, I mean, there's going to be some cool stuff that's going to happen. Honestly, the Slammiversaries have always been pretty good in general, because it's like their WrestleMania in a way.
Yeah.
For Impact, TNA, however you remember them as. So. Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting card. I'm very much looking forward to the Knockouts Championship match. I'm big fans of both Jordan Grace and Deonna Purrazzo. I'm interested to see what happens in the World Championship match.
Yeah.
Just not only just because of the TBD, but just like there's some other cool stuff going on in that.
Yeah.
Setup.
And you and I were talking about before we started recording, and you know, we didn't bring this up in news and notes, but like Rusev confirmed that he tested positive for COVID. So, like, there was a lot of talk, like, could have been Rusev, it could potentially be EC3 taking the to be determined spot.
Yeah.
And then there had been rumors of whoever took the TBD spot that they wouldn't be coming alone, which also adds a bit of intrigue to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's just one of those where it's like, wait and see, pay-per-views tonight, you know.
Yeah,
and see what happens.
Yeah, and I'm really enjoying the story with Moose right now, where he just showed up on television with what the old TNA World Heavyweight belt was like. Yeah, I'm the champion, and TNA's like, no, you're not. And like, he's like, yep. And if you think I'm not, come get it from me.
That was actually, in a way, good creative, because Tessa Blanchard, when she was still the Impact champion,
mm-hmm.
hadn't been on TV for a while because of this pandemic. Yeah. And, you know, when you look at it from a booking standpoint, that's very smart and very creative.
Yeah.
To, you know, your top title is off television. How do you add intrigue? You bring back an old heavyweight title.
Yeah.
especially for something where they've been wanting to do, like, because they're supposed to do the TNA retro show at WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
And then obviously that got scrapped. And, you know, so yeah. So this past week, Fight for the Fallen. You had Cody retain the AEW TNT Championship against Sonny Kiss.
Now, I want to talk a bit about this match.
Okay.
I've been critical of Cody's TNT Championship run. This was not a good match. It was okay at best. It was not good. And I'm not laying that at the feet of Sonny Kiss. I'm not laying that at the feet of Cody. It could just be that their styles don't mesh very well. It was not a great match at all. And that seems to be somewhat of a running theme recently with Cody's matches. I don't know.
Yeah, and then also one of the things was is that Cody was like working the heel this match.
I mean this match. Well, he's been the heel for a long time.
That match took place in 10 minutes and 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. Your next match was FTR defeating the Lucha Brothers in tag team action in 13 minutes, 25 seconds. Next up, you had the Elite, Kenny Omega, Matt Jackson, Nick Jackson, defeating Jurassic Express of Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, and Marco Stunt in six-man tag team action in 15:05. One of the interesting things of this match was Omega taking advantage of Marco Stunt, which
at the end,
which got everyone upset with him.
Well, he's showing the pressure, right? Because at the end of the FTR match, he tried to come out and make amends for what happened the week before, right?
With the beer, yeah.
Yeah, and then they poured the beer on him. And the rumors were that after the match, that FTR were off drinking with Hangman. So, yeah, Kenny's showing the cracks. And it's quite interesting. One thing I want to go back to my Cody Rhodes statement for a moment, because when I say he's been the heel for a while, I would argue that other than when he won the match won the title against Lance Archer, right? He's only had one match where he's not been the heel, and that was the match against Jake Hager. Every other match he's been playing the heel. Because if you look at who he's defended it against, right? He's defended it against Jungle Boy.
Yep.
Mark Quinn. Ricky Starks. And now...
Sonny Kiss.
And I would argue he was the heel in all four of those matches. So...
Yep. You had the Nightmare Sisters, Allie and Brandi Rhodes, defeat Kenzie Page and MJ Jenkins in 2 minutes. And of course, this was also MJ Jenkins' AEW debut after being released from NXT. And then in
I can't bring myself to care.
Yeah. And then
Brandi's so bad. And her finishing move. A finish move is the spear, which when she beat Allie, was it Allie she beat with the spear at Fight for the Fallen last year?
I think so, yeah.
Fight the Fest last year, what did I say?
I think so.
And they were selling up the fact that her finishing move is a spear because she's got a metal plate in her shoulder. And I'm like, what are we, fucking Lex Luger now? Like, come on. Really?
Yes, that actually was the match. It was Brandi Rhodes of Awesome Kong defeating Ali in a singles match at last year's Fight for the Fallen.
What an awful match that was. And now she's in a tag team with Ali.
Yep. And then in the main event of the night, you had Jon Moxley defending the AEW World Championship against Brian Cage, which would see Moxley defeat Cage by technical submission after Taz would throw in the towel while Cage was in the submission hold.
Yep. That cross-arm breaker.
Yep. Because, like, throughout the match, Moxley's focus was working on Cage's arm.
Yep.
And working the surgically repaired bicep.
Yep.
And, which is, you know, when you look at it from, like, a technical standpoint, great, you smart. Know, yeah, smart move, smart tactics by Moxley on that. And, yeah. But now this is the second time where we've had a title match, something that has been really built up, and with the towel being thrown in. Because yeah. The first time was at Full Gear when MJF threw in the towel for Cody Rhodes against Jericho. And now Taz throwing in the towel for Brian Cage against Moxley.
Yeah. So... there was also like a segment with Jericho where he came out and he called himself the demographic god and yet more shots at WWE and NXT, right?
Yeah.
And as we discussed on Wednesday night, we were like, just stop.
Like, and here's the thing, like, the previous 3 weeks, NXT has beaten AEW.
Yep.
Dynamite in the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And then this past week, it's come out that AEW Dynamite beat NXT in the ratings. But yet again, as I noted to you before we started recording, it was a Fight for the Fallen special up against a regular episode of NXT.
Yeah.
Whereas the previous 2 weeks
had been actually events.
Been actual events. And then the week before Fighter Fest and Great American Bash was, they were both the go-homes for the respective 2 weeks of Great American Bash and Fighter Fest. So, and obviously one thing that came out like last week when NXT won for the third straight week was like Jericho came out and was like, oh, well, you didn't beat us in the 18 to 49 demographic, and that's what mattered most.
Mm-hmm.
At least Jericho is consistent by going, yeah, we won the ratings and we still won the demographic that mattered the most. So at least he was consistent.
I wonder if when Jericho turns 50, he's going to tweet, well, no one cares what I think anymore. I'm not in the demographic.
It would keep him consistent.
Yeah.
but yeah, I agree. It's like, you know, we've talked about this several times.
Yeah.
You call it.
Yeah, even Cody came out and was like, if you ever see me tweeting about numbers, like, delete my account.
Yeah.
Right, like...
like, unfollow me and stuff like that. Because it's like... And that's the thing. Cody gets it. He did his little shot at, you know, Double or Nothing last year when he did the whole throne thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he has not done anything to go after WWE. He just took the one shot. And, like, they always talk about, we're the alternative to WWE. We're the alternative to WWE. A real argument can be made that NXT is the real alternative to WWE. You know? Even though it is WWE, NXT is exactly what everybody wants. Good storytelling with great matches, for the most part. You're not going to get a great match every single time because, you know, you still have guys who are in developmental getting their licks in. And that's the thing with AEW. Stop constantly focusing on what WWE is doing and focus on what you're doing. WWE has mentioned AEW twice.
Take the time that you're taking these shots at WWE to take the storytelling out of being the elite and put it on your television.
And
like there was the fantastic segment with Hangman and Kenny in the box where like the reason Kenny came out on Fight for the Fallen to try and make it up to FDR is because Hangman confronted him on being the elite. The whole reason that they're doing a really cool Dark Order storyline on being the elite. They're doing
this is the stuff that needs to be on television, because I'm sorry, but like the casual viewers, like I consider myself a casual viewer to AEW.
Yeah.
Because I watch NXT more. And like as the casual viewer to AEW that I am, if I don't see these storylines happening on television, I'm not going to understand what's happening. Yeah. I'm not going to, like, if it wasn't for you always explaining to me, like, oh, this is what's happening on being the elite, yeah, I wouldn't understand half the storylines of AEW. Yeah. You know, and like, and of course, the times where you actually send them to me and say, hey, you really need to watch this one. Yeah. And then we'll talk, you know, like, that's really the only time I watch being the elite is when Ben tells me to say, hey, I really need you to watch this so we can talk about it.
Yeah. It was also like a great, and then you have, it's weird because you have episodes like 2 weeks ago of Being the Elite, which had some really cool story moments, like the moment with Kenny and Hangman, and then the moment where Hangman looked at the box and was like, look, I love you, but I don't like you, kind of thing, right? And then you have this week's, which was just half an hour of nonsense and nothing and pointlessness, right? It was just...
And didn't you tell me that they took a shot at WWE for the Keith Lee?
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. They were like, oh, they have imagined leaking your main event. And then they played it as if the camera was off. They thought the camera was off. It was like, well, we've taken the shot at them like the fans expect us to do, as if they were trying to like take the piss out of the fans in a way. I'm like, but you still took the shot.
Yeah.
Right.
Just there's and like, and don't get us started on the ranking system, because that's an hour long rant right there. You know, it's like Ben's taking deep breaths.
Quick, talk about something else.
So moving on, we have I can't say anything. WWE, the horror show at Extreme Rules tomorrow night.
What a stupid name.
I agree. See, here's the thing. The name The Horror Show, we've talked about this before, would work great in October because it's freaking Halloween month. You know, not in July. So obviously tonight's Slammiversary. Tomorrow will be WWE's turn to be on the pay-per-view or WWE Network. So I'm just going to do a quick run through the matches and then we'll comment on them.
Sure.
So we have Drew McIntyre defending the WWE Championship against Dolph Ziggler in a match to be determined, as Dolph Ziggler has yet to announce the stipulation. The rumors going around is probably going to be TLC.
I would make the stipulation, no matter what the result is, I win the title match.
That's a smart stipulation right there. You have in singles competition Asuka defending the Raw Women's Championship against Sasha Banks. And then you also have Bayley defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Nikki Cross. Braun Strowman will be facing Bray Wyatt in a Wyatt Swamp fight cinematic match. The Universal Championship is not on the line for this match. You have Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins in an eye for an eye match, which will also be cinematic. And the match can only be won when one competitor extracts an eye of their opponent. That's okay. You have Apollo Crews defending the United States Championship against MVP. Going into this match, Apollo Crews will be coming in with the old U.S. title, and MVP is going to be walking in with the new title. which we haven't talked about that new title yet. And then
what
just
new title?
The US title.
What new title?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. And then just announced last night, you have the New Day taking on Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura, defending the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. Should be noted that matches that were previously announced for Extreme Rules, Big Show versus Randy Orton in the unsanctioned match, has been moved to Raw this upcoming Monday. And the big talk now is that, based off of a segment from last night on SmackDown, the bar fight between Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, which is supposed to be a cinematic match, has been moved to SmackDown of this week, or this upcoming week.
So let's go from the bottom of the card up.
Okay.
Right? So New Day versus Cesaro and Shinsuke.
In a tables match.
What a waste of Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura, man. What an absolute waste. I want to see Cesaro tying up with AJ Styles for the Continental title.
It would be great. Oh yeah, it would be great to see Cesaro or Shinsuke.
Yeah. Apollo Crews and MVP, that should be a good match, right? Like, I'm not going to lie to ourselves and say those are two untalented wrestlers.
And not only that, but MVP has been really thriving during this these pandemic shows.
I'm telling you, man, I've been really enjoying the more understated style of promo they've been able to get away with in the pandemic era. Just been able to talk rather than having to like project to an entire arena of people.
Yeah.
It's been really interesting.
And MVP has been kind of like the forefront, especially on Raw.
Oh, no. Seth Rollins, man. The whole Monday Night Messiah gimmick. Man. That's the promos he would cut around WrestleMania and when he was facing Drew. And he's... Oh.
Oh, no, I'm not taking anything away from Seth Rollins. Yes. Because we're talking about Apollo versus MVP, I'm just stating
You know, MVP's done very well with that, yeah.
Yeah. But now Seth Rollins is Rey Mysterio. Segue right into Seth, who also has been, you know, I agree 100%, has been killing it with the promos and with the Monday Night Messiah gimmick. See, now we're in the cinematic realm with these next two matches of Mysterio, Rollins, Strowman, Wyatt. And, like, we know what we're going to expect from the Wyatt Swamp fight. We're going to get something along the lines of that John Cena, Bray Wyatt, you know, Firefly Funhouse type.
I don't think we will.
But for the eye for an eye match, which it should be noted that WWE is still negotiating with Rey Mysterio right now for a new contract, because his contract has expired.
Yeah.
Well,
Rey's trying to leverage his kid, isn't he?
Yeah. So he's trying to leverage Dominic.
And the WWE are like, no, I don't think so.
He's too green. Like, I remember when Rey and Dominic, it was Rey versus Lesnar.
Yeah.
And they had Dominic come out and, like, they did the double 619 together, and, like,
it was cool and all.
It was a cool moment, but when you watch Dominic doing it, it's just like, kid needs more work.
Or he just needs to not do a 619.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this one? The eye for an eye.
I honestly couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it's great
for
story.
A show that is being billed as the horror show, right? This match has the most, I don't want to say opportunity, most likelihood to become a horror show, right? The sort of things that these two will do to each other in an eye for an eye match, right?
Yeah.
That also being said, they're not actually going to extract someone's eye.
Yeah, they pretty much have come out and said that they're going to have like a prosthetic, or they're going to like CGI affected or something like that. Because that could be a real issue if you had somebody really pull out somebody's eye.
Yeah, so they've got to find a way to end it that doesn't end in the way that, you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. So it'll, it's interesting. Strowman Wyatt.
I couldn't care less.
All right.
Like, especially considering the fact that Universal title is not on the line. I don't think you should have Bray Wyatt anywhere near that title anyway, because The Fiend doesn't need it, right? He's the Undertaker, the new Undertaker, right? He just shows up, beats people up, and leaves. But moreover, is Braun's Universal title reign so far has been...
it hasn't been the strongest.
Pointless? Almost? Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Next up, you got the two women's title matches, Asuka versus Sasha, Bayley versus Nikki Cross.
Yeah. Isn't Sasha a SmackDown superstar?
Yeah, but because she has she's co-holder of the women's tag team title, she could be on any show.
Right, but that shouldn't qualify her for a shot at the Raw Women's Championship.
Oh, I agree. But I think this is going to be what eventually builds to Sasha versus Bayley at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Is the fact that Bayley's going to go over on Nikki and Austin's going to go over on Sasha. And there's going to be like kind of like what you're seeing with Hangman, Adam Page, and Kenny Omega. You're probably going to start seeing some of those cracks start to form. And if they don't go at SummerSlam, you know, maybe if they can have a crowd for, like, say, Survivor Series or Royal Rumble,
yeah,
you do it there, because obviously you want fan reaction and stuff like that. Because that brings us to the next thing, and Drew McIntyre versus Dolph Ziggler in the to-be-determined stipulation match.
Did you know I was thinking about this last night, right? Because I saw the Rock's Instagram post where he's like, yeah, Dolph Ziggler for champion, right, basically.
Oh, and Drew McIntyre's response?
Well, no, but, like, I was just thinking about the Rock's post because I'm a big fan of Dolph Ziggler, right? I mean, I've gone on record as saying I'm a big fan of Dolph's. I think he's great. However, by my recollection... and I don't know whether this is true or not, but this is just what I remember. The challenger for the WWE Championship match on Sunday night at the Horror Show at Extreme Rules, Dolph Ziggler, has won one singles match in 2020. And that was against Tucker, a tag team wrestler.
Yep.
I can't think of him having won a single other singles match in 2020.
Let's see here.
Can you Google, like, Dolph Ziggler 2020 record or something?
That's actually what I'm doing right now.
Like, it just, it's, I mean, sure, he's been involved in, like, team matches that he's won, or, like, intergender stuff, or, but, like,
so matches? So he lost to Mansoor at Super Showdown in February.
He lost to a trainee! But.
He's lost.
Mansoor is Superman in Saudi Arabia. So
yeah, Ziggler has lost to Tucker via disqualification. He's lost to Otis via pin.
Yeah,
he's beaten Tucker via pin. He's lost to Otis via pin, and that was probably a Battle Royal match. Yeah, that was Battle Royal, so that doesn't count. So he is 1-4 in singles competition in 2020.
He's had five matches in 2020. And he's getting a world title shot.
Yep.
And he's won one of them. And that's just an indictment of WWE's booking, really. Right? And like I said, I love Dolph. He's a super talented wrestler. He's got a lot of talent. But I don't know.
Yeah. And then, of course, now there's the rumor that after this pay-per-view, the next challenger for McIntyre is going to be Orton. Because Brock Lesnar's... Yeah. And well, there's been talk about, you know, Orton taking the title.
It should have been Orton at this show.
Yeah. There's talk about Orton taking the title off of McIntyre at SummerSlam. And not because McIntyre's been a bad champion. I think he's been a good champion. But the thing is that they've been building McIntyre up, and they really want him to win the title at Mania in front of a crowd. Which is the logic behind taking the title off of McIntyre.
Then have him lose it at Rumble.
Yeah.
What I would do with McIntyre is I'd have him hold it to the Rumble, have him lose it earlier in the night, and then just beat crap out of someone, take their spot in the Rumble, win the Rumble, get his title back at Mania.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually would be pretty interesting.
But have him lose because of shenanigans. Have him lose the title because of shenanigans.
Yeah.
And him just like...
He just...
And he... And like, he literally just walks up to like... Like, just let me fantasy book it for a minute, right? Like, let's say it's Bobby Lashley that takes the title off him due to shenanigans from MVP, right?
Yeah.
Or just as an example. Straight after the match, Drew knocks on the door and he's like, of like Vince, he's like, put me in the Rumble. And Vince is like, no. And Vince, Drew is like, I'm going to start systematically killing people until you put me in the Rumble. And Vince is like, I'm not putting you in the Rumble. Drew's like, on your own hands be it. Walks out of the door, instantly decks just a staffer. Just so, it's like that moment, like that moment where Shawn Michaels super kicked, Ty Dillinger, and he's like, you made me super kick Joe. Like, Stan, I think.
His name was Stan. It's like, what's your name? Stan? Boom! You made me kick Stan.
And then, like, the match after that is supposed to be Apollo Crews against Angel Garza, right?
Yeah.
And McIntyre just keeps walking, walks into Gorilla and just puts Angel Garza through the thing. And he's just systematically walking through it. He's like, Vince, put me in the Rumble. And like Apollo Crews is like, I don't have an opponent anymore, but I'm not screwing with Drew McIntyre right now. And then like it carries on through the night. And then right, like during the Rumble, like McIntyre is killing people backstage. Like they've got a camera just following him around. And he's just like, you're next. And then like when number like 15 or something is due to come out, it's someone that Drew's killed earlier in the evening. And Vince is like, fine, just stop. And then Drew comes out and wins the Royal Rumble. That's how I'd have it happen. Then he'd actually look like the Scottish psychopath that you're putting him over as.
Yep.
That's how I'd do it.
Yep.
And then I'd have Bobby Lashley systematically poop himself for 3 months, trying everything to avoid Drew McIntyre until he gets claymored into the sun.
Um, So that is the
horse. You could even have a cool little line, right? He could walk in and he's like, Vince, put me in the Rumble. And Vince is like, no. Sell yourself. Why should you put me right? He goes, actions speak louder than words, and mine will be deafening. And he just walks out and starts decking people. It'd be brilliant. It'd be brilliant.
Yep. So there was actually one thing we forgot to bring up when we talked about Fight for the Fallen.
Say Vicky, that again?
We forgot to bring up something about Fight for the Fallen.
Uh-huh.
Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah. Nyla Rose bringing out Vicky Guerrero as a manager.
Yep.
I'm for it. AEW have a lot of managers. I do like that.
Yeah, because now you have, like, what, Jake Roberts, Tully, Vicky.
Arn.
Arn, yeah. Although Arn's more considered a coach than a manager.
But he's...
Yeah, he's still in the manager role.
And technically, I guess, Brandy is the manager for...
QT and for Dustin.
For the Nightmare Collective.
And then Dustin's been doing the same role for the Nightmare Sisters. Yeah.
I like a good manager.
It's a lost art. It really is a lost art, and we can see Triple H in a way trying to do that as well, because like with Triple H and NXT, he's been trying to bring in more managers like Malcolm Bivens, Robert Stone, you know, just the name of the two that I can remember off the top of my head right now. So like he's kind of working on trying to bring managers back in a way into NXT.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a lost art. You know, for whatever reason, Vince just stopped with managers for the most part.
You know what it was, right?
No.
If you're paying a manager, you're paying two people for one spot on the card. It's why tag team wrestling declined for a while as well.
Yeah.
They just don't want to pay two people for one point on the card.
So, but that's the horror show at Extreme Rules tomorrow night on the WWE Network, which brings us to...
My controversial opinion. I'm actually more looking forward to Slammiversary than Extreme Rules.
Yeah, I'm not as well-versed with Slammiversary, with Impact as much as, you know, like with AEW WWE. But like I said earlier when we were talking about Slammiversary has always usually been like one of the better pay-per-views that Impact puts out on a yearly basis.
Yeah, yeah. I do. My number one hope for this weekend, right, is... Actually, I don't want to say my number one hope. I have a couple of... If I had to write a wish list for this weekend, right? The number one thing would be Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler to have a 5-star match. I think those two could put on an excellent match together, right? Just give them 20 minutes and say go. And let them just wrestle each other's like balls off. Number two would be the resolution of who's going where, our Impact tease is going to pay off, that kind of thing. And number three, seeing Heath Slater show up somewhere, be it WWE, be it Impact, hopefully Impact.
I think he's going to Impact.
I would love to see... I want nothing more. Nothing more than 3 years from now, he's slated to return to the WWE and complete the 3MB prophecy. I've been a big fan of Heath's for a long time. If anything, he deserves a bit more than Jinder ever did. And just consider that for a moment, right? If that happens, 3MB could be one of the most legendary stables of all time.
Yeah. And, you know, that's actually a great segue into positives, because you just brought up something for me that I can use for my positive. Mm-hmm. And that's actually something that Drew McIntyre did for Heath Slater. Mm-hmm. So as everyone remembers, I think it was like, what, 2 weeks ago on Monday Night Raw, they had Dolph Ziggler bring out Heath Slater.
What a segment.
And Heath Slater killed it on the mic.
I wish he'd had a bit more offense in the match, but...
Yeah, but the whole thing is that you end up finding out, like, a few days later through an interview with Drew McIntyre, that McIntyre really fought to get Heath Slater that spot on Monday Night Raw. He actually went to Heath, and he openly stated that Heath Slater... You know, he's checked out of WWE. He's focusing on the future. And we could tell because he got cut since getting let go. He's bulked up a bit. He's gotten more, you know, more meat on those bones, as they would one would say. And, you know, and Drew was like...
He done got swole, I believe the kids would say.
Yeah. And, but Drew gave Heath Slater... better proper closure to his WWE run before he went to Impact. And let's be honest, wherever he goes, which we all think he'll be Impact, he made Slater a star going into that letting him cut that promo and having, I mean, yeah, sure. The match would have been better if he had a bit more offense, but it still put Heath in a very positive light.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So that's my positive.
One of the arguments that was always against Heath is he wasn't a great microphone guy, and he proved when he came back that he sure as hell was.
Yep.
So that's
definitely my positive. Drew putting over Heath right before the no-compete clause expired. Mm-hmm. So.
My positive, I've been thinking long and hard about this, right? And I was going to say it even before we brought it up in the last segment, and it's the return of managers to wrestling. The reason why... is while we were talking, I was scrolling through Twitter, and I saw a couple of tweets about Robert Stone and Aaliyah, right?
Yeah.
And it just goes to show how one, like, a manager can affect a superstar's career. Because Aaliyah was nowhere, right? She wasn't really doing anything. Yeah. And now she's got some spotlight on her, and I'm quite excited at that. So,
yeah, I mean, you look at Robert, just by being paired with Robert Stone, it got Aaliyah like a match on night one of Great American Bash against Ripley, you know, a former NXT Women's Champion, and you know. That is a major positive. It's like, hey, you know, you used to just, I mean, yeah, she still technically did the job and lost the match, but that's still a bigger moment for her because she's part of something bigger than just, oh, I'm just out here the job out to somebody.
Yeah. And the storyline continued with Shotzi Blackheart this most recent week where...
And Killian Dane.
Well, no. But this most recent week... it continued where they interfered in Shotzi's match and cost her the match against someone who was actually quite green. And it's a very interesting dynamic that you can do that with people, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with, like, yeah.
But, like, there's also, like, the behind-the-scenes segment with Killian Dane as well.
That was the week before.
Like, I'm not going to lie. The thing with Killian Dane where she comes up with the Dexter Lumis like drawings, mm-hmm. and like Robert Stone grabs it and Killian Dane's like yelling at him, and like Aaliyah's just eyes are just like bugging out, like she mm-hmm. like the facial reactions that she's having. So good. So good. So
yeah. What a 2 weeks it's been. It's been weird because we didn't have a whole lot to talk about the news, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Weird times.
And so with that, Ben, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You find me on Twitter at Bob T. Goldfish. You can find me every 2 weeks over at
txhthockey.com/VFTG.
Doing my columns all about my journey of watching through the seasons of Power Rangers, which I'm doing because I am also a co-host on Awesome Mania's sister show, Voices from the Grid.
Yep.
Which myself and Mike do along with Brian Massey and Sasha Kaplan. Stay tuned for announcements on that.
Yep.
Because we're deep into recording, should we say.
Yeah, we're recording episodes, re-recording a few things here and there.
Almost done with season one now, and then we're just going to start releasing it all.
Yeah. And then when that's happening, we'll start recording season two.
And you can find me over at twitch.tv/321_TV, along with my good friend Jordan Johnson, and anyone else who happens to want to stop by, doing some gaming and WoW and Diablo and 40K stuff and all kinds of nonsense.
And then, of course, you actually have your next Ben's Journey for Power Rangers, I believe, this Monday.
Yeah, coming out Turbo. Monday, and it will be Power Rangers in... Turbo.
Turbo, yeah.
I say that because I just finished the In Space column, like,
and that's in 2 weeks. Yep.
Yeah.
So, with that, you can find me on Twitter at @TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/X75Productions, and of course everything on txhthockey.com. A bunch of hockey stuff coming up now because starting August 1st, the NHL qualifying round will begin for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So we have all of our team previews coming out, our team matchups coming out, or game matchups coming up. And of course, for the show, you can find us at txhthockey.com/awesomemania. And real quick note for our next episode, we will not be having an episode coming out on August 1st.
Correct.
Because I actually have to do something for my job.
Well, we may have an episode coming out that weekend. We just won't be recording it that day.
Yeah. So it might be something where we record it maybe like a few days
before. Couple of days beforehand. So the news cycle might be off a little bit.
Yeah. So, or we could maybe record it on the Sunday, depending on
something
schedule.
Like that.
Yeah. So just note,
specific day.
Yeah. So it just will not come out on August 1st just because I have to work. If it does come out that day, it's because we pre-recorded in advance. Yeah.
If it didn't, deal with it. We're taking 2 weeks off. We're Charlotte Flair in this. I'm going to go get surgery to prove my boobies.
Got to get ready for that big push. So horrible, Ben. So with that, Ben, take us out, my friend.
Well, it's me, Ben Taylor, aka Adequately Hydrated, here to say, guys, gals, and online pals, the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. And part of your non-gender specific honorifics.
And until next time, we will see you ringside.
Peace!